Daniel chapter number 6, Daniel 6 this morning. Young people that went to camp, would you come up here and help me out with by singing a chorus for us? All of you that just gave a testimony a minute ago, would you come up here? I'm going to have you sing a chorus to get us started. This is one of their choruses that they sang last week at camp. And as I meditated on what to preach this morning, my mind was drawn to the power of God. And they have a song called He is Able. He is Able. Once you come up, just kind of come around the mic there. All right. There you go. Squeeze in a little bit there, boys. Good. Okay. He is able. He is able. Let's sing that for him. Ready? He is able.
He is able, He is able, I know He is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
He heals
the brokenhearted, and He sets them captive free. He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. He is able, He is able, I know He is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Good. Thank you, young people. You can take a seat. He is able. He is able to carry me through. He's done amazing things in the past, and whatever trial that I'm going through in His will, He is able to carry me through. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll be, this morning we'll be dealing with the carry through. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll be dealing with follow through. But I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 6, and that's where we'll springboard from this morning. But I wanted to trace the word able through a few verses of Scripture and consider the power of God as it relates to the condition of our lives, of mine, of yours, of the circumstances in our lives as we're living for the Lord and as we're growing in His will and we encounter different things. I want us to consider this aspect of the power of God and His being able. Now, there's two aspects of power: authority and ability. Authority and ability. Pastor has often illustrated this concept with the badge and the gun. The police officer has the authority, which he manifests by the badge, but he also has the ability to stop you by the gun itself. And so he has both aspects of what we would call power. And in a biblical sense, we see that in Mark chapter 4, when the disciples and Jesus are on the heaving sea and a terrible storm is there and the disciples are afraid and they call on Jesus to help. And it says, Jesus rebuked the wind and He said, peace, be still. And immediately there's a calm. Why? Because Jesus has the ability, yes, but He has the authority. As the disciples muse and say, even the winds and the wave obey Him. Why? Because He's the master of the universe. He has the authority to command nature and it will obey. So God is indeed a God of power. In the first books of the Bible, we can read several verses that speak of the extent of man's ability. His ability to perform a task, endure a calling, or even afford a sacrifice. Numbers chapter 1, which I read this morning in my personal Bible time, speaks 14 times about men who were able, by reason of their age, to go to war. And that reminds us that humans are not able to do all things. He said all of those from 20 and above, okay, who are able to go to war, basically, is what they were looking at in numbering the people. Younger than that, were they able? Not really. Okay. Different sets able? No. But those men were able. And that just, as a sideline, kind of tells us that humanity is not able to just do anything and everything. We are finite. We are at times weak to the point of helpless. And it may be difficult for some to cast God, or may not be difficult really for us at times like that, to cast God in our own image and ask is God able? I see my own weakness and my own limitations, and I question whether even God could handle a situation like that. Is God able? And in Daniel chapter number 6, we read in the life of Daniel this interesting episode where he was a man of tremendous rank. God had elevated him in the kingdom of Babylon. After having been taken captive to Babylon, Daniel was raised in rank, was found to be valuable to the king. And so he was a very powerful man in authority, as it were. And I think probably partly in jealousy, some men looked at him and thought, how can we play king of the hill here and bump Daniel off the top of the hill? How can we get him out of the way? Well, it was hard to find anything against Daniel. In fact, he's one of two men in Scripture of which nothing negative is said. Where do we find the chink in Daniel's armor? How can we accuse him of something before the king? And you remember what they did? They finally had to outlaw prayer. That is, prayer to Daniel's God, because they knew Daniel was a man of prayer. And so they go to the king and they slyly talk to the king and say, you know, let's make a law that nobody can pray to any other god save thee, O king, for 30 days. Now, despite that being kind of an odd law, you know, does that raise any red flags? You know, people can only pray to you for 30 days. And then they can go back to doing what they want. That's strange. But anyway, let's make this law. Why? For the exact purpose that they wanted Daniel to violate the law. And so they passed the law. The king says, yeah, let's do that, heathen king. And what does Daniel do? Daniel says, well, I better be more careful about this now. I better go into my bedroom and hide in my closet. No, he didn't do that. Daniel, as he did aforetime, knelt toward Jerusalem and prayed 3 times a day. He maintained his habit of obvious, intentional prayer. And what was the result? Well, now he has to be brought before the king. I mean, he broke the law, didn't he? We just passed this law. Nobody's supposed to pray to anybody but the king. And Daniel broke the law. So what's the punishment for that? Well, believe it or not, the punishment for that particular crime was to be thrown into a den of lions. Now, the king was grieved over this. I believe he respected Daniel, appreciated Daniel. He didn't realize the net that had been woven. And at this point, he had no opportunity to backpedal and undo what was already done. He had to pronounce judgment on Daniel. And so Daniel would be thrown into the pit of lions. So they throw him in. It says verse number 17 of chapter number 6. Let's go to verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Wow. I mean, it was kind of a sealed deal. Daniel was thrown in, a rock over that pit, the seal of the king himself. This could not be undone. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. The king lost sleep. The king was miserable. He couldn't sleep. I think one of his most respected advisors and governmental leaders, he had to, because of this subversive plan, cast into a den of lions. What a terrible thing. And he couldn't sleep. Didn't want music to comfort him. And then verse 19, the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste into the den of lions. We don't exactly, I guess, know what it exactly looked like, but let's say it was a pit and that stone was rolled over the pit. And maybe there was some sort of a little hole in which he could sort of, you know, hear the lions and sort of, you know, speak down into it, not really being able to see Daniel. And so the king, eager to get out the next morning, and check on Daniel. It says, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, and I want you to see the picture now. Here's the king in his, you know, regal garments, and he comes, but maybe he's down on the ground. And he says, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? You hear that? Is your God able? And what's the answer? Verse 22. My God hath sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Daniel, is your God able? He's able. Because he believed in him. Because he believed in his God. I'm not interpreting the passage per se, but I'm borrowing its question this morning, and I'm asking you to consider that many in our day are crying from the heart a similar question. Is your God able? Is God able? The unsaved. Is your God that you worship or serve continually, is he able to deal with this situation in my life? Is he able to deliver you? Is he able to do anything in your life? But honestly, some of the saved themselves in their own heart, crying in their trials and heartaches, is my God able? God, are you able? From his own children. And we don't have to turn far to begin finding the answer. We look at Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. In verse number 26. Remember, the king had had a dream. His wise men couldn't interpret it. He said, all right, let's kill the lot of them then. And Daniel said, whoa, not yet. So they brought Daniel before the king, and the king answered and said unto Daniel, chapter 2, verse 26, whose name was Belteshazzar, that's what they had renamed him in Babylon, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Mr. Daniel, are you able to interpret my dream? Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. What's Daniel's answer? Daniel, are you able? God is. God is able to answer that question, king. Look at chapter number 3. Chapter 3. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have violated the law. They stand before the king, who says he's going to throw them not into a pit of lions, but into a furnace of fire to burn to death. And what do they say in the face of the king? If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Note what they say next. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And then, of course, they say, but if not, be it known unto thee. That is, if God has some other plans, we still don't intend to back down. We still don't intend to obey your anti-God law. God is able to deliver us from your hand. Look at chapter 4 of Daniel. This dream, chapter 4, verse 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, that's Daniel, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for, here's the king's way of saying it, as a heathen king, the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. You're able because of the power of your God. Chapter 4 and verse number 37. Nebuchadnezzar, judged by God, cut off, as it were, for a period of years, lived like an animal. Finally, his mind was restored to him. And what is his, what is the end that he comes to? What's the conclusion? Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, that is the king of the most powerful nation in the world probably at that time. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the king of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. God is able this morning to accomplish his will. And I say that intentionally because I'm not meaning to say today, whatever plan you design and whatever comforts you want to enjoy, throwing them at God and saying, yes, God is able to do that for me. I'm not going to lead you that false hope. Because while God is able to do that for you, that may not at all be his desire. But I want you to understand, so I'm not giving you a blank check this morning to say, God is able to meet your every want. But I'm saying this morning, God is able to accomplish his will in your life, through your life. And God is able, as you're confronted with things and you're living for him, God is able to do through you what you may not even imagine is possible. However, if you resist him, raise yourself up in pride, as Nebuchadnezzar did, and say, look what I have done. God is able to bring down the proud. God is able this morning. Zephaniah 1:17 and 18, you don't need to turn there, but the prophet writes, and God says through the prophet, I will bring distress upon men, speaking to Israel, I believe, here, or Judah, that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. If we were to say this morning, is my bank account able? No. Is my retirement able? No. It would a better economy be able? That's not what we rely upon. When I'm up against the stuff, and when I'm living for the Lord, and God calls me to walk on the water, or you, God calls you to do something that you don't feel comfortable doing, or he brings trials into your life, and you say, God, I'm but dust. I want you to remember this morning that God is able. God is able to accomplish his will. Let's look through some verses and see what God is able to do. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10 and verse 28. He says, I'll wait for it to, I'm glad you're turning. I hear pages turning. That's good. I'll wait a few seconds. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. God is able to perform judgment to the fullest. God is able to do that. But on the flip side of that, John chapter 10, John chapter number 10, we come to this very comforting passage of verse 27, John 10 and verse 27, where Jesus says, and I give unto them, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a statement of reality. No one's going to do it. But he goes on in verse 29 and says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a statement of possibility or ability. Not a statement of reality that simply no one will do it. It's that even if they wanted to, they couldn't. No man is able to pluck the believer out of the hand of God. And so what does that tell us on the flip side? God is able to hold you. God is able to keep you. God is able to give you that security. He alone can promise that he can save you to the uttermost and have complete confidence that it will happen. John 21 and verse number 6. John 21, verse number 6, Jesus has been crucified, now risen again. The disciples are out fishing. John 21, verse number 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. For all they knew, there was some nice guy standing on the shore asking him if they had any meat. They answered, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Of course, they might be thinking, All right, really, we've been doing this all night. Whoever this guy is on the shore, we're experienced fishermen, but okay. You know, maybe there's something significant here. I wonder if this is the Lord over here. So they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You know what I see there? God is able to bless you so much, if you will, that you can't handle it. You know what I'm saying? You're saying, oh, can God barely meet my need? Is God even here? Does God know what's going on? Are you kidding? God's able to give you a net so full of fishes that, it's starting to pull the boat. God is able to open the windows of heaven. God is able to reveal his power. But he said to King Asa, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Do you have a complete heart toward the Lord? Can you say, God, I'm all in. All of me is yours. I want to do your will. I want the world to see in me a work of God's grace and God's power. And for people who are wholehearted for the Lord, he can show himself strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9. What is God able to do? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. Paul wrote, And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Talking about giving in that context there. Well, I'm not sure I want to give God much. I mean, I got to make sure I can protect myself here. And look, you be generous with the Lord and for the Lord. And God's able to make all that grace abound toward you. You're not going to outgive God. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, tell me that isn't one of the greatest promises of the book. God is able. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's say it in a different way. Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now, in this large sentence by Paul, talking about his prayer for these believers, he starts in verse 16, that he would grant you, that is, God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Next sentence. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Daniel, is your God able? He is able to do exceeding abundant and to show himself marvelously in his church. He is able. Philippians 3. To do what? Philippians 3 and verse 21. The who, referring to Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:21, Jesus Christ shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In Hebrews chapter number 2, as we continue on to the right, Hebrews chapter number 2, the author here writing of the superiority of the Messiah in Hebrews 2 and verse 18 says, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Look, Jesus has been tempted. He knows what that's like. He's been through it victoriously. Now he can comfort you. He's able to do that. He's able to comfort you. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore, because he has he continues forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Because of that, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Save them to the uttermost. And Jude tells us one more in Jude chapter 2, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The devil's knocking on your door saying, "Hey, you're not worth much. You know what? You just keep failing. In fact, you're a miserable failure. You can't live this life. I mean, look at what you're thinking. Look at how you worry. Look at your temper. Look at this. Look at that. You're not really much. Come on." And we look at Jude and he says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless." Only God. Only God can do that. By his amazing power can transform us and one day present us to Christ faultless. Yeah, it's a progress through this life, but brothers, sisters, there's coming a day when we're transformed into his image, right? And we're presented to Christ, or to God the Father, faultless. And then we look on the flip side of that and we say, God is certainly able, and yet we're not able. So we look to 1 Corinthians 10:13, and he says, "There hath no temptation taken you. You're not in any trial, but such as is common to man." In other words, we're never going through something where we say, "You know what? Nobody's ever been through this." Yeah, well, actually, Paul is telling us that everything we go through is common to man. In other words, it's happened before. There is no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will also with the temptation make a way to escape. What's that saying in that verse? It's saying that, again, we're finite. There's only a certain capacity that we have, only a certain load that we can bear, and God knows what that point is. So let's not magnify ourselves on the one hand, on the good day, on the day we feel great and we're being complimented and say, "That's right, I'm really something here." Because we know that we're not able. And really, we are able to a point. We have our limitations and our capacities. And beyond that, we begin to crumble, crack, and fail, and fall. But God knows that. And so God doesn't permit anything above that we're able, and also makes a way to escape. So just points out our inability or our limited ability. But notice something now, that we are made able in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians tells us one of these areas. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3, you say, how can I be made able? I mean, in what way? Look at 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So you go through this trying circumstance and you hurt and you grieve, and yet you turn to the Lord and you encourage yourself in the Lord your God, and you gaze on His glory and you're reminded of His love and His power. What does He do? He comforts you. He gives you strength. And you're reminded, that's right, my God is able. And you know what happens then? You turn around and you see somebody else who's grieving and aching and discouraged. And now you have wherewith to comfort them. You pass on to them what you've learned about your God. How? By what He gave to you, you give on to them. And you're now made able. You can have a ministry of comfort. How? Because God gave it to you. Okay, and He made you able. But even more directly, if you turn over a couple books to Ephesians chapter number 6, I want you to notice three times in this passage, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 16. And we're talking here about the armor of God. So as we are in the battle, the spiritual battle of life, and we want to be victorious, Paul is putting it in the analogy of armor. And so he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You can have that ability in His power. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You, beloved, can be able to stand in this spiritual warfare. You can, if you stand against the wiles of the devil, you can be victorious. Yes, that ability can be yours in Christ. When His power is working through you and you are putting on the armor of God. Now Matthew 9:27, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. When He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto them," listen to His words here, Matthew 9:28. "Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they say unto Him, Yea, Lord." You're crying out to God for help in these days. Your co-worker, your family member, it's crying out to God, "Is God able?" And maybe God answers back, "Do you believe I'm able? Do you believe I can do what you're asking me to do?" We need to stand there, beloved, and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, I do believe that you're able." Romans chapter 4:21 tells us that Abram believed God was able. Says verse 20 of Romans 4, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he," that is God, "had promised, he was able to perform." Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Hebrews 11:19 speaks of him again in a life of his son Isaac, but a different particular time. It says, "Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." That's the story when God tells Abram, "Take Isaac, your son, and offer him as a sacrifice." What? Abram simply obeys. He goes up the mount. He prepares to offer Isaac his son. Why? Because in his mind, he believes that God is entirely capable that if I sacrifice my son, he'll raise him again. Because he's the promised seed. He promised that through me, there would be many nations. And Isaac is the link. And so while it doesn't seem to make sense on a human level that God would ask me to sacrifice Isaac, how could he do that? It's basically telling us Abram was believed that God was able to raise him up if he had to. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul says, "For the which cause I suffer, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed." Do you? Do you know who you believed? "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." God, I've given you my soul. I've given you the security of my eternity. And I believe that you're entirely able of keeping that. I've committed that to you, knowing that I can't do anything with it myself. And I trust you wholeheartedly to keep it and to keep your word and to be powerful. So what are you going through in life? Is your heart crying out, "Can God? Can God?" Are you hearing the cries from the world, "Can God?" Maybe they're asking in their own life. Maybe you know somebody whose life is just being ravaged by sin and by Satan, and they're just being devastated, and maybe not in so many words, but they're crying out, "Can God?" Maybe they need somebody to step up and say, "God can. God can deliver you from this mess. God can show himself powerful in your life if you will surrender yourself to him. If you'll call out to him to rescue you from this bondage of sin and believe that indeed he is able to do it." Maybe they're watching not for their life, but for yours. So you talk a big talk. You talk about this God thing and you worship him continually. Is he really able? Let me ask you, what testimony does it give it? What does it give when you constantly go around complaining and worrying? When you go around to all your unsaved friends or relatives or coworkers acting as if God is not able to carry you through. Maybe it's your own heart and you're struggling. And I understand. All these circumstances and clouds roll in pretty fast and pretty hard. And there's a part of you that wants to say, "Can God?" Can I encourage you this morning? God can. God is able to accomplish his will. As we hold up the seeming impossibility in our life and we cry, "Is God able?" We hear a question in response. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God is able. For with God, all things are possible. In a certain context, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Oh, God, I can't do that. That thing that you said, that tithing thing, that serving thing, that, you know, that raising my kids right thing, that treating other people kindly. Well, you don't understand what, I can't do that. Can't you now? Is God able? Is God able to work in your life? Is he able to show himself powerful? Is he able to strengthen you to do all things that he has commanded you to do? God is able. Is your God able? Abraham, is your God able? He's able. Daniel, is your God whom you serve able? Oh, he's able. Paul, is he able? He's able. Author of the Hebrews, is he able? He's able. And the voice of God cries through the words of Scripture, he is able to comfort, to to save, to strengthen. God is able to do his will. Believe ye that he is able to do this?